Are you blaming God when things go wrong? I want to start first by looking at something else before we go into Job. This is one of my favourite comedy characters, Basil Fawlty. He's non-PC these days, but in that sketch, he's shaking his fist at God because there's a fire in the hotel, Fawlty Towers. That's a fictional being angry with God. I've got a minor one, which happened to us on camping. Basically, we had to put the tent down and it started to rain. And at that point, I said to Karina, this is God's fault. I realise that probably wasn't a good thing to say. But on a more serious note, Job, which I believe, and the Bible apostles like James believed, it was a real person. He's not a mythical figure, a real historical person. He went through some proper deep suffering, didn't he? Job was a really good guy, but terrible things happened to him. He lost his business. More tragically, he lost all his children in one day. Imagine that, all your children die in one day. He lost his health, got some terrible sores there, and he almost lost his mind. Now you might think God has got it in for Job. Maybe he sinned. In fact, his three friends, if you know the book of Job, there were three friends that said to him, surely Job, you must have sinned, you know, God must be punishing you for your sins. But this isn't the case. Job was declared by God. Well, the scripture says in chapter 1, verse 1, he was blameless and upright, a man who feared God and turned from evil. God said about him twice in chapter 2. Chapter 1, verse 8 and chapter 2, verse 3, I think. Have you spotted Job, my servant, who fears God and turns from evil, a blameless and upright man? So, you know, it begs the question, why? Why is this good guy getting so hammered? Somebody as good as Job. And sometimes things happen in our lives, and it isn't because we've done something wrong. We're not particularly doing anything we know wrong, and life just hits us like a storm. And some people get angry with God. Now, maybe you do get angry with God. I don't know, now maybe you're going through suffering, or in the future, or in the past. You're angry with God, but you don't say it. You don't say, oh, it's not very Christian, is it, to say I'm angry with God? You know? Well, in the Bible, it's okay to get upset with God. The psalmists, if you read the psalmists, a lot of the psalmists, they got quite upset with God. Job himself, at one point, blames God a bit, and he says in chapter 27, verse 2, the Almighty has made my life bitter. A guy called Habakkuk. He was a prophet, and basically his whole book is written around two complaints. And Jesus himself, note this, on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So it's perfectly okay to ask why. It's actually okay even to be upset with God. It is, however, unchristian to badmouth God to other people, to slander God's name to other people. That is unchristian. You can get angry with God, but here's the thing. You shouldn't stay there, frozen in time, angry with God, stuck in that place. And what I want to try and talk about today is how Job began to learn how to live wisely when you're going through suffering and walk with God in the suffering and not stay in that frozen place of anger, resentment and frustration and screaming out why all the time. Now, this chapter 28, it's very special because in it, I believe, Job comes to a realization just for a moment of real wisdom. He has an insight that I believe God gives him, an insight of wisdom in chapter 28. And he starts to see something that God is speaking to him. But it doesn't last long because in chapter 29 he gets grumpy again. And we're like that, aren't we? We have ups and downs. In chapter 27, Job is very upset with God. In chapter 29, he's very upset with God again. In chapter 28, bit of insight. He starts to see the truth about God's ways with him. I don't believe chapter 28 is an insertion by an author or by some editor. I believe it's part of Job's speeches. And it's all about wisdom, actually. Now, how does Job start off? And he starts off by talking about mining. And you think, what on earth is mining? What has mining got to do with suffering? But bear with me. Be patient. You see, he starts off by saying that human beings are good at discovery and finding things out. He looks at mining. Now, I don't know if any of you have got gold jewellery on today, but if you've got gold jewellery, you probably don't think about it that much. You probably think, oh, it came from the jewellers. But, you know, in the old ancient days, the ancient times, if someone gave you gold, it meant a lot more because gold, you knew, got dug up by somebody. I mean, oh, that's pretty amazing. Someone actually dug that up. You appreciated it a lot more. And Job is saying, isn't mining impressive? He says this, there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is smelted from the ore. Mortals put an end to the darkness. They search out the farthest recess for ore in the blackest darkness. And what Job is saying is this, aren't humans clever? They can find gold underground. Mining is impressive. You know, Job is probably thinking about the Bronze Age. You know, the Bronze Age was when they learnt to smelt copper out of the rocks. Humans are amazing. Look what they can discover. Does anyone here know how to do that? No? Well, the Bronze Age were ahead of you. Now, the Iron Age, you know, at the Iron Age, you know, they learned to get iron out of the ground, and it's just amazing. I mean, I've been down a few mines, but they're mostly coal mines and slate mines, but it is pretty amazing what human beings are capable of. And Job continues to marvel at what human beings are good at discovering and finding out. They're good explorers. He says, people assault the flinty rock with their hands and lay bare the roots of the mountains. You know, to get under a mountain is pretty impressive. And in modern mining, it's even more amazing. I mean, look at that. That is a giant mining machine, the biggest in the world. It's called the Bagger 293. It bags tons and tons and tons of soil all in one go. It weighs 14,200 tons. That's the Guinness World Book of Records, biggest mining machine. And you can see the truck that usually goes with it. I mean, the truck is, you see, I don't know if you can see the guy there, but the truck is enormous. Isn't mining impressive? And mining is also unique to human beings. Because you see, look, my cat, that's Mittens. My cat Mittens, all right. Now, my cat can dig in the litter tray, but she can't dig for gold. All right? She can't dig for gold. And human beings are therefore more advanced than animals in particular areas, well, particularly mining. I mean, some animals obviously can do things we can't fly. But in mining, we're far more advanced. And Job realizes that human beings, again, are pretty incredible. And he says, no bird of prey knows that hidden path. That means no eagle knows what's going on in mining underground. They haven't heard of mining. Falcon's eye has not seen it. No lion, the king of the jungle, no lion prowls there. He doesn't know anything about mining. You know, we are more advanced in exploring and discovering things than animals. This is astronomy. I'm fascinated by the distant stars. That star called Earendel, that red dot, is the most distant star known to human beings, rediscovered 3 days ago with the James Webb telescope. Do you know how far away it is? 28 billion light years, they think. But you know, isn't it amazing what humans can discover? But, and here's the crunch, although we can discover all this stuff, Job asks the question, but where can wisdom be found? You know, we can find gold, we can find diamonds, we can find sapphires, we can find all these things underground, but where does understanding dwell? He says this, no mortal comprehends its worth. That's wisdom's worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. It cannot be bought with the finest gold. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. So you can't buy wisdom from God with stuff that you can find in the ground, that stuff you can find. And according to the Bible, wisdom is the most valuable thing of all. But this is what it says. Only God understands the way to it, this thing called wisdom. And he alone knows where it dwells, for he views the ends of the earth and he sees everything under the heavens. God sees everything. God is greater than the miner who finds the buried gold. In fact, God knows where all the gold is. God is greater than the animals, the eagle sight. An eagle can see a tiny little mouse 2 miles away. I mean, that is a phenomenal eyesight. And God knows alone where wisdom is. But wisdom, you see, it's valuable. It's more valuable than gold. And it's beyond us. It's beyond human beings. We can't reach that. we can do a lot, but we can't reach wisdom. Here's one other little thing from the passage. This is the weather. It says in verse 25, when God established the force of the wind, measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, and then he looked at wisdom and appraised it and confirmed it and tested it. You see, God understands the weather. He made the weather. All right? Now, we try and predict the weather, don't we? We've got supercomputers. Do you know the Met Office in London? I read this somewhere on the internet. Has a supercomputer which can do 14,000 trillion arithmetic calculations per second. The weaker ones that they have are 10,000 times faster than a desktop computer. And the most powerful weather computer in the world is in Tennessee, America. And this can do 1.1 quintillion operations every second. But they still get the weather patterns wrong. I mean, most of the time the forecast, you know, is pretty accurate, but sometimes we get it wrong. And God, you see, understands the weather. God is greater than the weather man or the weather woman, whoever's doing the weather forecast. God is greater than the weather computers. God is greater than the miner. God is greater than the eagle. God knows where wisdom is, and he can give it to you. That's the point. Human beings are unique, better than animals in finding things, but wisdom is beyond us. But God understands things that we don't. God knows things that we don't know. Now, it's important we grasp this when we suffer. This is where I'm going with this. You see, when you suffer, it's easy to say, why? And if you can't understand a reason, you think, well, there can't be a reason. God's just got it in for me. Whereas what we should say is this, and it's not an easy thing, is this. You say, it doesn't make sense. But then again, I'm a limited human being. And that's okay, because God understands. Or my loved one, it might not be you, it might be a loved one. Someone you love, and they're suffering. You think, why? What? But I can tell you this, God understands. It doesn't mean you can't understand God, ever, but there will be things in your life you don't understand. Why did that happen to the person I love? God understands things. And sometimes you won't find out in this life. You won't find out. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you get hindsight. That's great when you can say, oh, well, now I understand why that happened. But not always. Job says that eagles can't do mining. Humans can do mining, but they can't find wisdom. God knows more than us. And he is to be trusted. Now, there are different levels of understanding in the universe. So, for example, that is a photograph of some moss growing in my car door. Well, I've actually cleaned it out now. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever had a car, you've had it for a while, and you get annoying moss growing in the window, where the window, it's like really irritating, and I try to scrape it out with a fork and things. Now, if I say to the moss, I'm being silly here, but if I say to the moss, moss, come here, what is the moss going to do? Nothing. You just look at me. Well, no, it can't even look at me. It's going to sit there. But it is a living thing. It's living. But it can't understand. Right, now let's move on to a slightly higher, more intelligent being, my cat. Now, if I go to my cat, which is more intelligent, knows more than the moss, and I say to my cat, dinner, dinner, she'll come bouncing along and then turn her nose up at it if she doesn't like it. Now, the cat understands that. But I'll tell you one thing my cat doesn't understand. The law of aerodynamics. The law of flight. Now, I was in the air cadets as an NCO, and I'd do an exam on the laws of flight. So I learned all about ailerons and lift and thrust and pitching and yawing and all this. I found it fascinating. But I'll tell you, Mittens doesn't understand that. And it's the same with us. You know, we can understand an awful lot, but there are some things we won't understand. I may understand the laws of flight, but I don't always understand suffering. I understand more than my cat, mostly, except how to get a mouse. But I'm not the ultimate understanding of the universe. Now, atheists arrogantly put themselves in the place of a judge of God. And they say things like Bertrand Russell here, who was quite a well-known atheist. He said this. He said, no one can believe in a good God if they've sat at the bedside of a dying child. Now, I've been to the bedside of a dying child in Sicily. Well, I think the child had actually already died, but it was very, very sad. And you don't understand. But an atheist will say, they'll follow this logic. I understand that a loving God would never allow suffering. But suffering exists. Therefore, a loving God doesn't exist. That's what they say. Okay, sounds logical. But if you're a Christian here today, there's a different way of viewing the universe, and it's like this. A loving God does exist. Suffering exists. God must sometimes have reasons for allowing suffering that I don't understand. And that's an act of faith. So what wisdom do I need to hear from God when I am suffering? Where's the punchline? Where's the climax of Job 28? Where does it end? The punchline is this. And God said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. So what I'm trying to get across to you is this. Job didn't get the answer. He didn't get why. Why did this happen? But he learnt, or God reminded him, that the way through suffering is not to have all the answers. It's not to keep being angry, but it's to have the fear of the Lord, which means trusting the Lord. It means reverencing the Lord. That is wisdom, and to turn away from evil. So trusting the Lord and repenting. Now you might be sitting there thinking, well, is that it? When I'm really going through the mill, is that it? Well, that's what the Bible says at the end of Job 28. Job, you see, I would love Job to get the answers. You know, Job, we know that the reason Job suffered was because Satan and God had a sort of, in chapters 1 and 2, they had a kind of debate over whether Job was really, truly God's man. But Job never knew that. We do, because we're the readers, but Job never knew why he lost his children. He never knew why he lost his business. He never knew why he nearly lost his mind. And sometimes it's like that with us. And what was God's word to Job? What came back to Job's heart? It was this. God said it. God said to the human race, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to turn away from evil. So you might not find that as a very satisfactory answer, but I tell you, the secret to going through suffering, when you don't understand, and when you're screaming at God, and when you're angry, and you say why, is to fear the Lord, and to turn away from evil. It's a call to humility. It's a call to say, I know my place in God's universe, I'm going to fear him. I'm smaller than God. God is God, I am not. There are things I don't understand. I don't like this at all. I hate what I'm going through, but I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to keep turning away from evil. You know, some people, when they suffer, they think, right, God's making my life difficult. I'm going to go and sin. Life's gone wrong. I'm going to let my hair down. I'm going to go and, you know, get drunk, do this, do that, because God hates me. But the wisdom is this. Trust the Lord. Fear him. Cling on to him. Keep going with him. Keep living for him. And keep repenting, turning away from evil. And God will see you through. That's what it says. We don't need to know all the answers. We need to know how to put one foot in front of the other. And God will bring you through. So next time you suffer, or if you're suffering now, when you're wrestling and crying out and angry, and I know it's not easy, does it ever occur to you to say, well, I need to fear the Lord and turn from evil? Because that's what it's not about having the answers. Do you know what? It's not about being clever. Wisdom is how to live. Wisdom is a moral thing. Wisdom is living before God humbly, humbly and trusting him and turning from evil. Wisdom is not being a genius. You know, it's impossible to have an evil genius. You can't be an evil genius, you know, like these guys. It's impossible. He's supposed to be an evil genius, Blofeld. And this guy's a spoof one called Dr. Evil. It's false, because if you're evil, then you're not wise. You can't be a genius. God says, it's the fool. You know, the fool says there's no God. It's the evil person is stupid. The person who's wise is one who fears God and who turns from evil. So next time suffering is hitting you like wave after wave after wave, and maybe now, I believe God's word to you is keep trusting, keep trusting, keep holding on. You don't understand, but keep holding on, keep turning from evil. And God will bring you through. Somehow. Maybe it will be for the benefit of others. Maybe you'll know one day. Well, you'll definitely know in heaven. There it is. Fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. Shun evil is understanding. Job was already doing this. You know, Job, it says in chapter 1, he was already turning away from evil and fearing God. But he needed reminding of it in chapter 28. He needed to be reminded by God. Now, here's a question for us all to finish on. But can God be trusted who asks me to live like this when I or those I love suffer? It's all right for God to sit up there and tell me to turn from evil and trust him. What does he know about suffering? Well, you know the truth, don't you? God is a suffering God. He's not immune from suffering. He doesn't look at it from his cloud and see you struggling. You know, it was shown on the cross. Jesus was the crucified God. He doesn't just have a God head knowledge of suffering. He himself suffered. John Stott said this. He was a famous theologian. He said, I could never myself believe in God if it were not for the cross. God has suffered. He's with you in the suffering. You might find that difficult to believe, but God works through suffering. He does things in our character. He makes us more mature, etc. But he does things we don't understand too. And it does say in the Bible that all things work together for good to those who love God. Think of Joseph. You know, Joseph in the Old Testament, Joseph got slammed in prison, got accused of this, accused of that, sold into slavery by his brothers, forgotten for 2 years in a rotting inner jail, and then the Lord turned it around. Jesus suffered on the cross, turning what was evil for good, to save many people. So if you are going through the mill, say, Lord, I believe, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to turn from evil. Please redeem my pain. Redeem it. Do something with it, Lord. Turn it for good. Redeem my pain. And God will. God is a redeemer. So, trust him. This is wisdom. Fear God and turn away from evil. Let's pray. Lord, this is not an easy message. We all either are suffering now or have done, or maybe we still carry those wounds. Thank you, Lord, that one day the promise is there will be no more pain, no more crying. You will wipe tears from all faces. There will be no more sorrow, no more death, for all the old order of things will have gone. But in the meantime, Lord, when we don't understand, please help us to fear you more and to turn from evil, to trust you. And I ask you to really compensate everyone here who suffers, Lord. Compensate them, I pray, and work through their suffering in Jesus' name. Amen.